Good evening and welcome to each one. Looks like a sparse population here tonight, but I think we'll go ahead and get started. Two songs at this time. Can you help us out, Willard? Oh, no problem.
Oh, I'm probably about as prepared as that is, so it's 210. Abide with me, fast falls at eventide. 210.
Abide with me, fast falls at eventide.
As I was thinking what to share tonight, I noticed a little book at home. The Greatest Moments in the Life of Christ by Max Lucado. So I opened it up and thinking about what I want to say tonight. And my mind was drawn, well, I opened it up and here was the story about forgiveness. And okay, then I just kept paging and went through the little book and, you know, subject by subject. And I always came back to this little story. Jesus teaches about forgiveness. It's taken from Luke 15, 11 to 24. We call it the prodigal son. Max Lucado uses the New Century Version of the Bible, and so I'm going to read it in that way. You can follow in King James or whatever else you have. Then Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger said to his father, give me my share of the property. So the father divided the property between his two sons. The younger son gathered up all that was his and traveled away into another country. There he wasted his money in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a time came when there was no food anywhere in that country, and the son was poor and hungry. So he got a job with one of the citizens there who sent the son into the fields to feed pigs. The son was so hungry that he wanted to eat the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he realized what he was doing, he thought, all my father's servants have plenty of food, but here I am, almost dying with hunger. I will leave and return to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God and have done wrong to you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but let me be like one of your servants. So the son left and went to his father. While the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for his son. So the father ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God and done wrong to you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, hurry, bring the best clothes and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get our fatted calf and kill it, that we may feast and celebrate. My son was dead, and now is alive. He was lost, and now is found. So they began to celebrate. And then this is what he says in kind of his own words, commentary of this story, the story of Jesus teaches forgiveness. The road home was longer than he remembered. When he last traveled it, he turned heads because of his style. If he turned heads this time, it was because of his stink. But that didn't bother him, because for the first time in a calendar of heartaches, he had a clean conscience. He was going home. Give me had been replaced with help me, and his defiance had been replaced with repentance. He had no idea how much his father had missed him. The boy came around the bend that led up to the house. He rehearsed his speech one more time. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. As he approached the gate and placed his hand on the latch, then he heard footsteps. Someone was running. It's probably a servant coming to chase him away, or his big brother wanting to know what he was doing back home. He began to leave. But the voice he heard was not the voice of a servant or the voice of his brother. It was the voice of his father. Son, father. Tears glistened on the cheeks as arms outstretched east to west, inviting the son to come home. Father, I have sinned. The words were muffled as the boy buried his face into his father's shoulders. The two wept. Repentance had been made. Forgiveness had been given. The boy was home. In this story, it just reminded me again of the love that God has for me. And when I repent, he extends forgiveness to us. Joe Yoder, would you lead us in prayer as we kneel?
Okay, we'll go ahead and take announcements at this time. I have them at the bottom, but I think we'll go ahead and take some announcements. We'll leave the voting for later, but what announcements do you have? It's time to reelect a new midweek planning committee member. The one-year member is Tim Miller, and the half-year member is James Yoder. So take at least two nominations. Joe Kipfer.
Mark Nisley.
It's been moved and seconded that nomination cease. The nominations are Joe Kipfer and Mark Nisley. And we'll now vote in that order for Joe Kipfer. And Mark Nisley. Thank you. Mark Nisley will be the new member. Thank you. Yes, Marvin.
This is a prayer request for Nathan Yoder. He's been off work for a week and a half, and got a call from Paul this evening and said he was to a doctor and they almost hospitalized him, something about the medication that he was taking for his sinus infection caused his salt level to go low.
All right, thank you. Yes, Larry?
You'll find copies of the Pilgrim Perspective on the back table.
Okay. Pilgrim Perspectives on the back table. Okay. Yes, Shane?
You might have been planning to mention something about this later, but some of you have heard about an accident that happened in Colorado yesterday.
Yes. Yes, thank you. They do deserve our prayers. That's correct. Lyle also asked me to perhaps just suggest that that it might be appropriate if maybe there wouldn't be those from here going over to Perry Lee and Judith's house after the service, just in order to give them a chance to rest. And I assumed that that would be the way it would probably be anyhow, but I thought we'd go ahead and mention that. Okay, Gary.
We have had a little confusion here. We were thinking that we might take something up about starting times here for the winter, if we have time, and I thought it would happen in the announcements, so I came up, but yeah, maybe we'll go ahead with this. Is there any discussion that you would have? We remember last year we had done it for several months on a trial basis, starting at 7 for the winter months, and so we're coming back to you to ask, would you like to do it again while we're on standard time? And if you are of a ready mind to vote, we'll just take that. But it's always possible that there are comments or questions. And if you hesitate to vote now, that's fine. We can give it some time, even a week or what, to think about it. So who has something, some response of some nature here? Yes.
I liked it so well, I thought we should do it year-round.
There's a second to that.
Yes, I second.
There's a third to that. Okay. Yes.
Do you think that would help people get here on time?
Well, at least get here an hour or 2 degrees than normal. An hour, 45 minutes.
So you'd be ready for a raised hand vote. If you have something else to say, you better start talking. Are you ready for that vote? How many of you would like to go to the earlier starting time of 7 o'clock? Okay, that's a lot of you. How many of you would prefer to leave it at 7:45? That's a number of you. Well, thank you for participating in that. Let's go ahead and give this another round this winter at 7 o'clock. Maybe I'll just own up to a mistake I already saw that I made on the roster on the back page. The Hands of Christ Committee is 3 years, 4 years, and 5 years, but that somehow got drugged down like evidently went 3, 4, and 5. It should be 3, 3, and 3. And I would be surprised if there aren't some new committees or assignments that ought to be listed here. You may talk to me or email me with anything that should be added for next year.
Or correct.
I had thought that perhaps leaving this question till the last could be a good carrot to make sure that we all keep our comments concise and to the point, but I just have the confidence that that's how it's going to happen anyhow. So we'll just plan on that. In some ways, this meeting to me feels like the time when the Lord of the Vineyard calls the servants and asks them to give an account of their stewardship, and so I guess it's an effort to report to the body what actions have taken place and if nothing else, and another, maybe I should say, not rather than say nothing else, I should say that another benefit is that it's good for us to just be reminded again what some of the gears are that make the machinery work. And so it's with anticipation that we move on into the reports. And we'll start with the trustees report from Jay Harold and then the church treasurer report from Edward As we usually do, we'll just follow right on through. Thank you.
The trustee report, there's not much to report. There wasn't much done. We did do the annual church house cleaning, and we had plenty of help, and things went well there. A couple of projects, the old ladies' restroom, some of the toilets had been giving some issue problems, and so I see Willard laughing. Anyway, long and short, I talked to Willard to replace him, and he says, or to fix him, he says, you know, we're having problems with these ongoing. How about just changing them all? And the dollars between a replacement kit and a new one wasn't all that much. So I told Willard, change them all. We don't want any problems. And we haven't had problems since then. So thanks, Willard, for your help on that. We did get some benches, 8-foot benches in the basement, the backless benches. I didn't hear too much comment about more. If you have any other comments or ideas, suggestions, John Miller is the new head trustee, and he would be willing to hear what you have to say. Another thing, I'm not sure when the basement classroom doors were replaced. Was it in this calendar year, or not calendar year, in this year here, or did it happen last year? So I'm mentioning it as it happened and you saw it, I'm a counter here for the offering, and I talked to Gary about this. There's sometimes some people put two checks in the same offering. They're dated differently. There's no memo clarification what should happen. We have to put it in the today's offering or whatever. If you indicated last Sunday's offering, write it on the memo. If you can't remember what that offering was, write the date down. That will give us clues as what you wanted it to do. Otherwise, we have no other option than to put it all in today's offering. Any questions about what I said about the offering or trustee projects? Correct. You can put, yeah, and let's use this as an example. You weren't here last Sunday, which was the offering of Center Missions. That's the word I wanted. And then you have a check you would like to give to Center Missions, memo it, and that's all it goes. That's all it takes. Put it in the offering, and it will go for Center Missions.
I suppose those who write the check assume that the date will carry that message.
The date does not. The memo line...
But you say if the date is on the memo line, it does, right?
Correct. Right. If the memo is blank, it says today's offering, because you put it in today's offering. All you have to do is write the date or the offering on the memo line. That's what the memo line's for. Correct.
I recently was asked to carry checks for an earlier offering, and I didn't look in the manual line, but I was assuming that the date would carry the message. I don't know why I always wanted to put dates in, put two checks in for dated differently.
Well, we're required to look at the memo line, and that gives us a clue what what you wanted for this offering this check to go to. Okay. Well, you pass that word on to the other person then.
Well, certainly thanks to the offering counters for doing this job. It means missing out on church fellowship, but it's important work that needs to be done and appreciated. I guess this is about what your last chance, Edward, to make a report after 40 years of doing this. So I guess having.
Yes, Laverne is right. This will be my last time for reporting what happened last year as far as the offerings are concerned. I don't have a lot of comment about the report. It's all here. But if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. We have the two different pages, the general fund and then the offerings as a total. Yes, that's right. It's funds that are put in that are designated for certain things, but they're not for that Sunday's offering necessarily. Yes, and I have enjoyed doing this, but I feel it's time to pass it on. And I thank you for your cooperation in this also. And I've been, you know, if needs arise, I've just often been blessed by the way you responded to needs. It just seems that you are always willing to do that, and I think that's good. If we see a need and respond that way, and I've just been blessed by your giving, I guess one thing. A thought has occurred to me. It has before, and I thought of it again this evening. Probably most of us, actually, I'm talking to myself also, could give more than we do, and we still would have plenty if we do any comparison with other places in the world. Why, we'd come to that conclusion pretty quick, I think. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. Yes, Perry.
I was wondering, it said two alms funds are reported, and then down at the bottom, one alms fund, 1,000.
Well, yes, it was actually the two regular alms fund, but then when we had the extra communion, that offering was designated for half of it to our alms fund and half of it to Hands of Christ alms fund. And that's why I listed it that way separately. Any others? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Edward. It's rather difficult to express appropriate appreciation for 40 years of effort. I'm not sure how to do that well, but I think from all of us, we do thank you and appreciate it very much.
Good evening. I'm wanting to just share a little bit with you concerning the Center Missions funds, and then also regarding the CAP program. I think on the Center Missions General Fund and the other two funds, they're pretty much self-explanatory. I do want to note that Cornerstone is a regular contributor to the fund, and that's much appreciated. And also you can see that by far the majority of the funds that come into Center Missions are used for the work that we do, that we support in India, and for the seminar that takes place there. And I think currently, with the funds that they will be taking along for the seminar, I think the fund should be around $5,100, somewhere in that range. And I just want to express my appreciation for the generous offering that you folks gave on Sunday. I think it came to around $8,300. And that's a real blessing to see that happen. The other two funds are pretty much self-explanatory. Might just note that there hasn't been much happening at all with the Craig Miller Fund due to them having returned to the U.S. in June of 2011. Any questions on any of the Center Missions funds that you would have? Gary. That's correct. And it will be a pretty major change for Rosine, having spent all these years with this young child. So let's remember her in our prayers. Let's remember Craig's as well as they make decisions concerning the future. Okay. Let's look at the center aid plan. Well, it's no secret to anybody that it's been a little bit of a rougher, tougher year for us. And as you can see by the total expenses, the amount came to just under $800,000 of medical expenses here. And, you know, we've had to go up with our assessments. And we appreciate the cooperation that we have, that you've given concerning that. And I think currently the fund has, give or take a little bit, from $50,000 additional to what it's showing here is the balance on hand as of October 1st. So we are, things are looking better for us. And also, it looks like Woodlawn will probably be resharing with us this year. And we don't know for sure what that amount will be, but it does look like it will be a nice amount. So we will be getting some help from them. And just a note of interest, I was looking over the list here, and was just reminded that, you know, we, or doctors, medication can only do so much for us, and then we leave it up to God. And looking over this list, I noticed that there's at least three people listed on here that have gone to be with their Maker. And so this is a program that we're here to help each other with, but we also do want to give credit to God for the healing that He does bring, and we leave it to God to choose how He heals. And also I note with interest that on this list there were several newborns listed on here that may have had, due to some additional expenses with through the birth. So we see God that we have some new people added to our group and some that have died. Any other questions that anyone would have? Okay. We appreciate everything. We appreciate the way that you work with us in the different parts that I talked about here tonight.
Is someone prepared to give the hands of Christ talk about the Hands of Christ report. Marvin, go ahead with your school's report, and we'll catch the Hands of Christ report after that, I guess.
Good evening. Well, I don't have any new and exciting news for you. These are all reports that you've seen before, year-end, June. I will make just a couple of comments. If you turn to the bottom of page 10, you will notice we made some a request at the very end of the year for that we were running a little tight, and the next to bottom line year-to-date offering of the five churches was at 100%, just $118.58 less than what we had projected. So we are really grateful for the financial support that we feel from all of you, as well as the entire group. Then going on to page 11, the budget is pretty standard. Salaries went up just a little bit, and the health and housing with the increase in center aid bit into us a little bit there. I think the average suggested, well, not suggested, the average per wage earner per month went up about $3 or something like that for this year. So there is a small increase there. Are there any questions that any of you have on the reports? As was mentioned before, we really appreciate all the support that we feel from all of you.
Let's see. Hands of Christ board members. Titus, are you the only one? Do you have any comments you'd like to add to this report? Find it interesting what the variety of blessing fund disbursements are. They're not large amounts, but I can...
I think there was 20-some different people.
Oh, okay. Out of that $3,000, about 20 people that were helped with that $3,000. Well, that feels like you were stretching the money to make a difference in. Okay, that's helpful. All right. Is there anything else that you would like to add to that, Titus? Okay. All right. Thank you for your efforts as a committee on that, and we'll continue moving forward here. Shane?
On page 12, you have a balance sheet of Choice Books of Kansas. We continue to be blessed with Arno's solid leadership and the BS staff that we have. We are sitting in a pretty decent cash position right now with a checking balance of about $123,000, money market of almost $632,000, for total assets toward the bottom of the page of about $1.4 million. With total equity just in that same neighborhood. We did have some elation and some disappointment this year when we established a new district in Kansas City that lasted for about 3 months before our district manager found other employment. And so that kind of left us scrambling for a while. So we do have more money than we feel like we need right now, and so we are looking at ways that we can leverage that to make the Ministry of Choice Books do what it is doing better and in more areas. So that little update on district across the page, then an income statement. I'd just like to point out the first quarter of 2012, for whatever reasons, set records for a first quarter. It's the best first quarter of any year that Choice Books of Kansas has ever had. So we're very grateful for that. 2012 year-to-date, which is, of course, just the first three quarters, $459,000 gross profit, other income of $62,000 for a total income of about $522,000-ish. Down at the bottom of the page, we had total expenses of $468,000 with a net income of $53,000 for the year and a net loss of about $9,000 on operations. So in the other income, the contribution income, some of a lot of that is VS contribution, some interest income, and some long-term interest income from the Choice Book Central Office investment. But our VSers make a big difference in the bottom line on a yearly basis. Does anybody have any questions about this report?
Can you tell us a bit how things seem with Walmart or your largest vendors?
Laverne asked how things seem with Walmart and some of our largest vendors. The retail marketplace is kind of an ever-changing thing. I would say that our position with Walmart has been tense but stable for about the last 10 years, and they keep making threatenings, but so far not a lot has happened. We have had one very good thing happen with Walmart in the last year. About a year ago, they had gone, or 2 years ago, they'd gone to clean action aisle policy, which moved all of our large displays out of the front aisles, and that made a huge, huge difference in our sales. They dropped dramatically. But then, because Walmart and other of their vendors had similar results with taking big displays out of the center aisles, then they did reverse that policy, and so we are getting back into some of these places. Arlen Mast is working part-time in service and sales for Choice, and he has been very successful at getting bigger, better displays in some of these Walmarts, so we are very grateful for that. Are there any other questions? Thank you.
Shane's comment about Walmart and Choice Books brings back memories of many gut-wrenching meetings years ago when I was on Choice Books for the very same reasons. Kind of interesting to hear that that corporate philosophy is still pretty much the same. Okay, page 14, Mennonite Motorist Aid. Just a few things I'd like to highlight on this report. Center has officially lost its status as having the lowest average vehicle year. That baton has apparently been passed to Arlington on this report. I think that's a first, if my memory serves me correctly. I do want to commend all of you for another more important number here. If you look at the third line down on that report listing the churches, go to the number all the way on the far right, our average claim for last year. Claims average $965.40. It is pretty hard to have an accident that costs you less than $1,000 these days. So well done. Those kinds of numbers are good to see. The rest of that report is just a lot of details. I'll skip most of those details. Let's flip over to page 15. This is simply a listing of all the claims for the 2011 fiscal year. Just listed in order that they were recorded, and the totals at the bottom. We had total claims of $55,871.13 for the 2011 fiscal year. If you'll go over to the next page, this is simply a summary on page 16. This is a running summary of the total claim amounts by year. Something I noticed on this report that kind of caught my eye is 2009, 10, and 11 all had 21 claims. Kind of an odd thing to see, but noted that the 2011 year had the lowest average of the last 5 years, I believe, 4 years. So that was definitely a good year compared to some of the prior years that we'd had. On page 17, this is the sheet that is produced at the annual leveling meeting when we gather together to level all the claims. Just a couple numbers at the top left that I'd like to highlight. The leveling per unit for 2011 was $156.09. That's a little less than what you would have been billed per unit because we have local costs that we add back in when we level those numbers locally. There were 15,421 total units were leveled, and total claims was just a little over $2.4 million for 2011. Something else that you will notice on the, I thought I might just add this, on the right-hand side of this report, you see two columns called Friday and Saturday. About 7-8 years ago, we tried something new, and everybody liked it. We got together. Previously, we would get together on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and run this meeting until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and everybody would get there in a hurry, and we'd all kind of leave in a hurry, and very few of us had very much time to actually get to know the other people that we're working with. So one year, we decided to get together on a Friday evening and have a supper together. I think the first year it may have been at a restaurant, I'm not sure. But this really made a hit. And now every year we do get together on Friday evening. Typically there's a meal that is prepared and provided by the local hosting church. And it is hard to describe to you how it feels to go to that meeting and be able to sit down with people from I don't know how many other churches, I guess 60-some other churches. And some of those, for example, like Brent and I, represent more than just one church group. It is hard to describe how it feels to sit down with a large group of other men, work through problems, discuss issues, hash things out, hear honest feedback from everybody, and always be able to find a way to work together. It is a wonderful thing. It is very enjoyable, and it always lifts my spirits to participate. What you're seeing there, that Friday and Saturday, those are the attendance numbers for Friday evening and for the meeting on Saturday. It has been interesting to see those numbers for Friday evening growing till they pretty much match what happens on Saturday. A couple things I thought I might comment on as I was looking over this report and some of the things we've recently had to work with. I thought I might offer everybody just a friendly reminder about one thing especially. One of the questions that comes up periodically is it okay to loan my vehicle out to somebody else if it's covered by MMA? Just some clarification on why the answer to that is typically no. MMA is permitted to operate in the state of Kansas because we fall under a specific exception clause in the insurance code or the state regulations. This goes all the way back to one of our initial meeting with representatives from the state of Kansas. We are permitted to operate in the state because what we offer is exclusively given to members in good standing of our churches. That clause that addresses that issue allows us to not have to comply with all of the insurance code that other insurance companies who are truly insurance have to comply with. So because we are saying to the state of Kansas that this is only available for our members in good standing, the concern is always that if we have an accident by somebody who is driving an MMA-covered vehicle who is not a member of one of the churches that is participating in the MMA program, what we don't want to have happen is we don't want to have to answer questions to Topeka that we would really feel uncomfortable answering. The long-term potential of an event like that would potentially cause the state of Kansas to reevaluate our standing, and we don't want to have that discussion. That comes up partly because there have been some requests recently for clarification on that issue, and we did have one case recently where we discovered there was an accident. We received a phone call inquiring, asking questions, and we discovered there was an accident that had not been reported to us with a vehicle that was being driven by a non-member who had also not reported it to the actual owner of the vehicle. Now, we understand there are times where maybe you have an employee and there's just no other options. We want to be reasonable, but as a matter of normal practice, we do encourage you to avoid that if at all possible. Something else I thought I should maybe talk about just a little bit. We had, a rather intense discussion at our last MMA meeting. And the item that was being discussed was whether or not Mennonite Motorist Aid will change its bylaws to permit church groups to participate who permit the use of the radio. You may wonder why that comes up. It comes up for several reasons. One is that is kind of a historical line in the sand that has existed in the MMA bylaws, that in order for churches to participate, to be eligible to participate in MMA, they must require not using the radio. This came up for a couple of reasons. One of them was the discovery that there were some groups where people were pretty openly using the radio, even though the church had agreed on not using the radio. Interestingly enough, one of the MMA members, who's a representative for MMA at his church, put together a survey and simply gave it to all of his members of his church, asking about where they're at on this question. And to his surprise, he discovered that he had a problem on his hands. And it will be very interesting to hear at the next meeting how that problem has been resolved, if in fact it has, because it poses a real dilemma for that MMA group. When you have a church that says that we don't use the radio, but when the vast majority of the people respond and say they are using the radio and don't have any problems with it, yet the MMA bylaws say that we don't do that, we have to figure out what to do. So there was a lot of discussion, and at the end of that discussion, there was a vote taken, and there was overwhelming support for staying with the bylaws as they are currently written. There were, however, several groups that dissented, and somewhere in the last year and a half, I know of at least one group, I believe, that has removed itself from MMA voluntarily because they could no longer comply with that restriction. That level of honesty and integrity is appreciated. So I guess part of why I'm bringing this up is I would just like to encourage all of us to be aware that that is in the bylaws and to be people of integrity when it comes to those kinds of questions. Any questions about anything I've covered or said? David. I did forget to mention one thing in relation to that. It was that specific item in the bylaws that turned the light bulbs on in Topeka at that meeting. When the insurance commissioner's folks were looking at our bylaws and they saw that line item in the bylaws, it became pretty open and shut for them to consider permitting us to operate in the state of Kansas, because it makes it very clear that this is not a commercial entity of any sort whatsoever. Thank you.
Okay, certainly. Thank you for that. Now, moving on to the Bible Studies report. It's pretty simple. There was money that came in from the three churches, and most of it was spent on Bible courses with an ending balance of $440. And I might just mention that we do have bills that are continuing to stack up, and just waiting for an appropriate time to take an offering for that. I think we probably will have, we have enough bills accumulating to probably justify a full offering here when we can work it in. Nathan, of course, has been the Bible course coordinator, and with his accepting the responsibility of the treasurership here at Center, he is asking to be relieved of the Bible course responsibility. And so we are looking for someone who would be willing to assume that. And so if you are able or know of someone that you think could serve in that role, it would be greatly appreciated. Of course, the Bible course graders continue to be to assist as they have in the past. Richard Graber, Edward Mast, Al Miller, Cord Nisley, Harvey Nisley, Sam Nestor Nisley, and Vera Nisley. A big thanks to those graders who do this behind the scenes work. Okay, Joe, it's your turn.
Well, thank you for being a part of the birth center in making it possible and giving your support. Things are going well. Conventional wisdom, I think, would say that you look for ways to expand and grow and become more bigger and better. Better is always a good thing. We began with a vision not to become bigger, but to stay open to needs that arise. And so occasionally there's a little discussion about where we might go from here, but we continue to be a small organization that that does its thing very well. So I would be interested in hearing feedback if there are ideas that really ought to be considered. We want to be plugged in listening to ideas. I encourage you to look over the interesting facts. You'll see that we serve people of a wide variety, and obviously it's the intent to minister to the people that are served. Also, you'll see here the finances. If you have questions right now, I'd be glad to entertain them. If not, you may have questions later. Please feel free to talk to any one of us. Lois would know more than I do about the things you may want to know. And from her, she encouraged me to just thank you for the support. Thanks.
Well, we're glad to support that and glad for the vision that that helped make this become a reality. So just very grateful for that. Moving to the West Center Cemetery Fund, now on page 20. It's funded by Cedar Crest Center in Arlington, and pay for lawn service, and with the old order Amish paying a third of the expenses as well. Ollie, did you have any further comments on this? I guess you handle the funds here, and I welcome any comments you would have.
Churches and the Lord.
Thank you.
If somebody uses the vault, it will be billed from the cemetery vault.
Okay. And so how many vaults would you buy at a time, roughly?
Four at a time.
Four.
If a better price is done, then they're delivered.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Okay, then the maternity aid plan, which James Shetler takes care of the maternity aid plan, and you can see that the disbursements were just a little bit more, about $1,000 more than the income, and of course the income would come be assessments that are part of the regular center aid plan. Okay, and then moving to the center alms fund. It's certainly been a blessing to see how you've participated in meeting needs within the congregation. Total disbursements this past year came to $24,452. We're grateful for that and grateful for how you have supported the alms fund. We had at one point we had asked if there'd be those who'd be interested in contributing to Mihaela Stoica. This was a Romanian woman who was needing dental work, and there was almost $5,000 that came in for that. Since that time, we've learned that the costs went quite a bit higher than anticipated, and so this was very much appreciated. You might also note under disbursements that that Jerry Miller / Fresh Start, they're $6,100. Basically, what we've been doing is providing about $500 a month to Fresh Start. Just thought that perhaps the Alms Fund had enough money in it that it would be that we could do that rather than to take a separate offering at this time. And we're continuing to monitor that. There was also some other money that went to the family as well. Under individuals at center, the $1,210 was money that went to Marietta, was money that helped with the rental, and of course we're grateful that Jana has a house rental property in Hutchinson, and Marietta has one in Arlington that are helping to provide some revenue. And the Golden Rule is providing oversight on that. So thanks for that, Willard and Julian, I guess. So, are there questions from any of you on anything on this Alms Fund report? Yes, Brother Gary. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes. The decisions that are made are the yes, right, are the result of deliberations by the deacon committee, and that has been a real blessing. I'm just grateful that you provided that, Brother Lowell and Lauren and Titus, and so we have differing perspectives, and usually we get together on in some way or another. So, we would probably seek a church council if it would be a large sum. But at this point, I'm not aware of any limits that were set in that particular way. But we also don't mind if we accumulate a little bit of a balance, should there be some significant need that would come up. So, it's been gratifying for me to see that the Alms Fund offerings have generally been very well supported as well. Yes, Brother Gary.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that is correct. Yes, the books are open for review from anyone. Part of the reason for putting line items for both Jan and Marietta is that we had publicly asked for contributions for Jenna's surgery, for which the $1,900 was the balance that it required to pay for half the surgery beyond what our offering had been, and then also for Marietta the same way. Other members would have been for multiple members here, and we certainly do not mind answering any questions that you may have, but we think it is appropriate to give some wish for or some room for privacy, I guess, and yet as I say, we're open to answering any questions that you may have personally. Is there a better way to say what I've said from any of the committee? Okay, all right. Okay, any other questions? Okay. The clothing relief report, I believe that Jay Harold produced that. I think his thought was that you can read and that will be adequate. Do you have any further comments, Harold, at this point? Okay, 3 times ago it was better, huh? So, all right. We'll keep plugging away at it. Okay. All right, and then we have the report on the sister sewing. Again, just appreciate the efforts that are put into this, and I certainly find it interesting too that the various offerings that were raised are detailed here. Appreciate the work that is done. Then, of course, there's the Kansas Youth Chorus financial statement. And, of course, not as many expenses if you don't go on tour, I guess. All right. Thank you, Harold, for your work on the membership roster. And grateful for the work that you've done on that. Okay, and then on the roster of both the elected officers and the appointed officers, I would just echo what Gary said, that if there are corrections to be made on particularly the appointed officers or whatever, don't hesitate to bring that information to us. And thank you, Gary, for your work on these rosters as well. In reference to the packet of information as a whole, I do want to give due credit to Craig, who helped me compile this and do the cover page and quite a bit of the work. So I've been very grateful for his assistance on this. Another thing that I failed to mention during announcement time is that we're continuing to look for people to help with the cleanup at Calvary Bible School next week. I believe this will be leaving early Monday morning, this coming Monday morning, and we had hoped to be doing some more work on trying to twist some arms to make this happen, but didn't have enough energy to get that done, or didn't quite reach around, and so we'd just like to make sure, I would just wish so much that we would have a couple who could go and take a van, and then we would have perhaps it'd be easier for young people to fill in and go along. At this point, I think there's at least 3 volunteers between Center and Cedar Crest, and having an older couple or a couple that could drive and provide leadership for the group would be very helpful. Probably, if you can help, contact me before tomorrow noon, or then Lee Nisley after that. I think Lee will be trying to put things together. We expect to be going to Colorado, leaving tomorrow afternoon. Let me see. I'm trying to think if there was anything. Is there? Yes, Rebecca. Oh, yes, thank you. I was thinking there was something that was missed. Yes. The deadline for getting the Christmas boxes back is just around the corner. I think technically it should be this coming Sunday. I'm not sure if we had verbalized that as we should have. We might be able to get by maybe a little bit later than that, but if we deliver them directly to Hutch. But I if any of you do want to get Christmas boxes going, it's time to do that shortly. So is there anything else? Well, again, thank you very much, those of you who give of your resources, of your time and energy to in these many ways. It is certainly a blessing to be part of a body that works together, that is focused in needs beyond itself, which I believe that these activities do reflect, and trust that the Lord will continue to bless. I believe we will have a closing song at this time. I certainly want to thank all of you who have kept your reports concise and to the point. I feel grateful that we're getting closing this close to the proper time. It also feels that with some of the things that we've been happening, this is not a good evening to omit prayer and or the prayer time that we often do. And so I think that as we close here, I would like to have some specific needs mentioned in our closing prayer time here. Brother Gary, I'd like to ask you to lead that prayer, and I think it would be appropriate to remember course, Perry Lee's and the Whitmer family and Therese and of course Lauren's family as they have the upcoming wedding and then of course Dave and Lowell as they will be traveling to India. And I just believe it behooves each of us to be thoughtful, prayerful as we leave here and as we come into as we continue on to the coming days that the Lord would have His way in these circumstances that are difficult. Let us join together and band together in prayer and in concern for each other. Shall we rise for prayer at this time, Brother Gary?
Here's Mr.